Hello, and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Nida. Today on the show, we will listen to a discussion between Margaret Kimberly and Nina Parnia about the violence in Iran, which was orchestrated as part of a regime change effort against Iran by the United States and Israel. Nina Parnia is an assistant professor at Albany Law School in New York and a member of the Anti-Imperialist Scholars Collective. Margaret Kimberly is the executive editor of Black Agenda Radio. Thank you to Black Agenda Radio for this recording.
You're listening to Black Agenda Radio. I'm Margaret Kimberly. Nina Parnia is an assistant professor at Albany Law School in New York. She is a legal historian, focusing on the role of modern imperialism in U.S. law and politics. She's also a member of the Anti-Imperialist Scholars Collective. She joins us from Albany, New York, to discuss recent events in Iran and the U.S. role in unrest in that country. Thank you so much for joining me, Nina.
Thank you very much for having me, Margaret. It's always wonderful to be with you.
I'm so happy you could join because Iran has been in the news quite a lot. Last year, there was what was called a 12-day war between Iran and Israel. And in recent weeks, we were told, the corporate media and state narrative was that the people of Iran were protesting against their government. They wanted to overthrow their government, that thousands of people were killed and all killed by the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. But the truth is far different. Just tell us in broad strokes what it is we should know about what was happening in Iran.
In December, there was the currency called the rial underwent a significant devaluation of something like 30-40% in a weekend's time. And our understanding, I'm no political economist, but our understanding is that this was currency manipulation. And even at Davos, I believe yesterday or the day before, the U.S. Treasury Secretary called it economic statecraft and said their plans are working, economic statecraft against Iran. So following that devaluation, a small group of merchants, which is a historically very powerful class in Iran, but it has a symbiotic relationship with the Iranian government. It's not an anti-government class. They protested, and they had relatively clear demands. And within days, the government met with them. It also met with some of the leaders of the labor unions, and they came to some temporary negotiated solutions. Shortly after that, what appears like urban warfare broke out across cities in Tehran. And at the same time, Pompeo, the former head of CIA under the first Trump government, tweeted Happy New Year to our men in the streets of Tehran. The Israeli media came out and said that they are funding and supporting the operation in Tehran. So it was very clear that the imperialist forces and the Zionists were trying to manipulate what was happening in Iran to foment regime change. What's important to know is that there are two things that I want to be clear about. The first is that historically, when you see this kind of violence in Iran, in the streets of Iran, you know, people targeting banks and hospitals and mosques, institutions that are used, that are necessary for daily life. When you see that occur, generally Iranians think that that's when you know there's outside intervention going on, because Iranians don't like to target the institutions they use in day-to-day life. They certainly don't target when they're, you know, engaging in political activity and protest. The numbers that just came out of Iran, I think they came out in the last couple of days, are pretty horrific. It's like dozens of medical institutions, dozens of banks, dozens of government buildings were targeted, and they were targeted quite violently. What was going on in the streets was not like typical protest activity during that stage of urban war. It was beheadings and sort of ISIS type stuff, people being set on fire. So that's one thing that's very important to know. The other thing that's important to know is that I believe it was last week or the week before, millions and millions of Iranians came out into the streets to defend the government. They're calling them the largest protests in modern history, in recent history. It was millions, and they were trying to clear the streets, their own streets, of this urban warfare. So it's clear, it's very, very clear that Iranians do not want to topple their own government. They may have disagreements with their government or have criticisms of their government, especially as the government struggles to manage one of the most egregious sanctions regimes in the world. But they don't want their government to fall. They do not want to recreate what happened in Libya or in Syria or even in Iraq. So people here need to understand that this inundation with anti-Iranian propaganda in the mainstream media and in social media, that is part of the campaign. That's part of the campaign to destabilize the Iranian government. And a lot of Iranian liberals and Iranian American liberals are participating in it. They're saying things like two things can be true at once. We can want the government to fall, but not want imperialist intervention. In point of fact, two things cannot be true at once because there is no alternative right now to the government other than Al-Qaeda, ISIS-type forces like the ones that we see in Syria, or the son of the, I hesitate to even want to like bring him more attention, the son of the fallen monarch, which was put into power in the first place by the West. Nobody wants either of those things. So two things cannot be true at once. The only way to defend Iranian sovereignty is to defend the Iranian government. And I'll say one last comment on this topic. The Iranian government is the only government in the world with a byline in its national budget to support the Palestinian resistance, its annual national budget. It is a strong, strong supporter of the Palestinian resistance and of Palestinian liberation from the river to the sea. There's no question that the Iranian government wants total liberation for the Palestinians. If that government falls, and the imperialists know this well, if that government falls, the Palestinian resistance in the region is facing a setback of decades, of generations, if not more, when it comes to achieving regional liberation from U.S. imperialism.
You mentioned the fact that Trump's first Secretary of State, I don't think he was the first, but Mike Pompeo, who served as Secretary of State in the first Trump administration, Israeli officials were quite open in stating that they were supporting this violence. And yet that information was disappeared by the corporate media, which is really stunning to me. That I'll give you my favorite example. The New York Times had a story, and they said a ragtag group had access to Starlink. Now, Iran managed to jam the Starlink system, which was very important in cutting off communication for those who were creating this violence. But the New York Times actually used the words ragtag and access to Starlink in the same sentence. It's really amazing to me how the corporate media are, well, they're agents of the state. And this is just one instance of how they make that relationship so clear. What are your thoughts about that?
It's just, it's enraging. In our minds, we know it's to be expected, right? But Starlink has been used. My understanding is that Starlink has been used in other regime change operations, most notably in 2014 in Ukraine in the Maidan operation that brought this comedian to power with Nazi support, with European Nazi support. And so, I think that each Starlink is like hundreds, something upwards of hundreds of dollars. I think there were thousands of Starlinks that were confiscated in Iran. So, this is not like a couple of kids, in the streets bringing Starlink in. This was clearly well-funded operation that was coordinated likely in Israel. The other thing is that when you see the videos that are coming out of Iran of these people, the quote unquote protesters that but who are actually engaged in urban warfare, they look their movements are very sophisticated. They look very, very sophisticated. You can tell that they're trained. Videos are now coming out, drone films of their movements in the streets of Tehran. So when the New York Times or any other outfit in the US and Europe comes out and says that, thousands of people in Iran have been killed in a regime change operation that this evil government has quashed, they're outright lying to the Western public. And those same lies, we've been hearing those lies for generations, right? Basically since the revolution, the 1979 revolution. But those lies, they foment dissent around the world. They foment political confusion. They create the conditions. They're meant to create the conditions for regime change. And we saw that with Maduro. We saw in Venezuela, people say, well, this government is a bad government and the Venezuelans don't support it, et cetera, et cetera. That obviously is not true because the Venezuelans are coming out into the streets every day to call for their president and first combatant Celia Flores to be sent back after being abducted by the government, by the US. But we really, as people who are thinking, as people who know how to read, as people who see what the US is doing in its own streets right now, we really have to try to be more critical and more thoughtful about how we deal with US propaganda. These two things can be true at once, ragtag, protesters, all this stuff. Do you really want to see ISIS or Al-Qaeda running Iran? Or an idiot monarch son, monarch who has no program other than normalizing with Israel. He cannot articulate any kind of program except I'm going to normalize relations with Israel and I'm going to kill the Iranian nuclear program, which his dad started, by the way. Is this really what we want? If not, then pick a team. It is time to pick a team.
But you know, Nino, the endless propaganda against Iran creates this confusion for people who should know better. I find people who aren't even showing skepticism, who are so quick to attack the Iranian government. Iran, it's a theocracy. Women have to cover their hair. It's backward. It's crazy. They want to kill us all with nukes. Endless. I mean, and for decades, for years and years and years of negative and most of the time false stories about Iran, it takes its toll, and we see why they do it. And the other thing is, it just shows you how most liberals just want to believe. They believe in American exceptionalism and they want to believe the US is good. So it doesn't take much. All you have to do is say women have to cover their hair, and people don't, there are many people, too many people, who do not think beyond that. And they're kept ignorant about all of these things. And so it's easy for people to say this is a terrible government and it should fall, and a few well-placed videos and op-eds. And that's all people need to know, and leave out the part of the ISIS-like forces that are in the pay of the US. And so we end up getting there's buy-in for terrorism against the people of Iran. So I'm sorry, I took up our time venting about that.
Well, actually, you bring up the woman question, so I can you if you want, I can address that a bit
Sure, yes.
because it's important. It's important to arm ourselves with actual facts, right? And the reality is that in Iran, the majority of university students are women. The majority of scientists and engineers are women. Women are all over the workplace. They are in the government. They are leading university programs and even are deans and heads of universities. I mean, at every level of society that you look, women are active and they are engaged. When the revolution occurred, literacy in women in particular was very, very low. The government turned that around. The Islamic Revolution turned that around in something like months or years, actually quite similar to Nicaragua after the Nicaraguan Revolution. Now literacy for women and for the society in general is in the nine is over 90%. I think it's over 95%. Women have excellent access to health care. I mean, the whole society does. And the health care system of the Islamic Republic, the national health care system, was created through a collaboration with Cuba. Iranian doctors and government officials went to Cuba to learn about their healthcare system, and they instituted something that is similar. So these are just a few social development indicators about the state of women and the state of society in general. Iran is not what you see in the news. And right now, as it is, Iranian women, I mean, this hijab question is really ridiculous. Because, like, why are we so fixated on how women dress rather than their education and their health and their function in society? It's because we are accustomed to the commodification of the female body, right? The female body is primarily meant to be a source for exploitation and commodification. And if you can't do that, then, Americans feel some sort of anxiety. But in any case, if that is going to be our measure, right, the reality is that Iranian women are no longer wearing hijab, a lot of them. Some of them are, some of them aren't. They're choosing to wear whatever they want to wear. The government is not enforcing hijab restrictions. So this is all just a bunch of crap, right? It's all just a bunch of crap to justify a regime change operation. And, bombs don't liberate women. Killing women does not liberate women. I mean, this is just like basic common sense.
It should be common sense, but in the face of so much war propaganda, I feel like people who are otherwise intelligent are not. I wanted to talk before we go about the role of these human rights groups, allegedly, that are none of them are located in Iran, who at the appropriate moment will say that X number of people have been killed. We have no way of knowing if this is true or not. Actually, we do know that everything they say is untrue, but at any rate, so at the appropriate time, they will come in and say, the government has killed X number of people. There were many dead people, but at the hands of these proxy forces of the US and Israel. And these groups are located here. Talk to us about them.
So actually, Al-Mayadeen is I believe a Lebanese media company. It's very, very good. They have they have a live stream and also an English language program that everybody should follow. But they actually came out with a report, I believe last week, that describes some of these NGOs and their funding streams. So, for example, Center for Human Rights in Iran claims over 7,000 media citations in 2022, markets itself as an independent, nonpartisan, and nonprofit organization. It's registered in the US. Its founder is paid $200,000 a year. And over the course from 2012 to 2024, it received 16 point, it had a budget $16.3 million. And the funding is not clear. It's not clear where their funding comes from. An organization called Tavana, it was launched with State Department funding in 2010. It received support from the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a CIA op, USAID, and the Netherlands Ministry of Foreign Affairs, $15.9 million from 2011 to 2024. It's an open supporter of Israel and a vocal monarchist advocating regime change. Boruman Center for Human Rights in Iran, funded by the NED as well, 13.5 million from 2011 to 2024. Board members include Francis Fukuyama, which I'm sure many of your listeners know, the end of history after the fall of the Soviet Union. Also received funding from George Soros's Open Society Foundation. These are all, and this is just a snapshot, but these are the types of organizations that we're talking about. I mean, this is actually like a relatively benign sort of accounting of what they do, but they just out and out lie. So they represent a very well-resourced but relatively small number of the Iranian community. There is another part of the community which is equally or more concerning. And this is the two things can be true at once. These are the sort of opinion leaders that the two things can be true at once opinion leaders who are saying we don't want US intervention, but we do want the end of the Islamic Republic. These are what you may call, what one may call sort of liberals, right? Classical liberals. They want Iran's economy to be opened up to foreign control. And it's important to know that Iran is not a socialist country, right? But Iran has a nationalist economy where its most important resources and minerals are actually controlled by state institutions, kind of like Venezuela. And the state uses the profits of its sales of those resources and minerals and then funnels those profits into social development programs in addition to other state projects. These liberals and the right wingers want the Iranian economy to be integrated, better integrated into the global capitalist system. That is their primary objective. They don't like the Islamic Republic. They're probably secularists and et cetera, but this is like their primary issue is the Iranian economy, and they have a class orientation, and that class orientation is toward the capitalist bourgeoisie, not toward the Iranian people or the Iranian working class. So that is really important to remember when we're trying to sift through all the bull propaganda on social media. Because if Iran is opened up to the global economy and to the global bourgeoisie, it's going to be pillaged. The economy will be completely pillaged the way that the Eastern Bloc and the former Soviet Union was pillaged after the fall of the USSR. And an article just ca is or is coming out soon in Peace and Bread, I think it's called, by Powell Worgan, where he says that the numbers are catastrophic. 17 million people are thought to have died after the fall of the Soviet Union and during that period where the US and Europe were pillaging their economy. So this is what we're looking at with Iran. Politically, Iran may turn into something like what Syria is or Syria has become, et cetera. But in terms of the nation state and the Iranian project, it will be balkanized and it will be pillaged. And that, I think, we should look to the Soviet Union or Yugoslavia or the Eastern Bloc as a better example of what could happen to Iranian life if the Islamic Republic falls.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, Nina.
Thank you for having me, Margaret. I hope that we don't ever have to do this again.
Well, unfortunately, I don't see these people giving up, sadly. I don't see the US or Zionist forces giving up in trying to engineer the downfall of the Iranian state. Thank you so much
No.
for joining me.
Thank you, Margaret.
And that was Nina Farnia discussing US and Israeli efforts at regime change against the Islamic Republic of Iran.
And that's all we've got time for today. We just heard an interview between Margaret Kimberly and Nina Farnia about the attempted regime change effort against Iran by the United States and Israel. Thanks to Black Agenda Radio for this recording. If you'd like to hear some more from Black Agenda Radio, you can find their work on SoundCloud. Search for Black Agenda Radio. You can also follow their publications at blackagendareport.com. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kanjere. If you want to hear the show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Nita, and we look forward to your company again next week.